All right, welcome everyone. It's great to be with you. I'm very excited to share with you the topic that we're going to be talking about today. It's very close to my heart. It's a presentation that kind of came to me one day when I was working through a class with my seminarians on the last 7 days of Jesus. And I don't know about you, but growing up Catholic, when I talk about Holy Week, I tend to just think of primarily like Holy Thursday, you know, Good Friday, Holy Saturday, and the Vigil. But it really dawned on me in that lecture that when we talk about Holy Week, all 7 days, the last 7 days of Jesus' life, really are holy, kadosh in Hebrew. They're set apart. They're significant. And so what I want to do in this presentation is just take you on a little journey through the last 7 days of Jesus' life. I don't know about you, but if you think about it for just a minute, if you knew you only had 7 days to live, what would you do during the last week of your life? Whatever that is, whatever it might be, I think it would be something that would be very deliberate and very thoughtful. Like you would do things deliberately and having thought them through. And of course, how much more is that the case with our Lord? So as we look at the last 7 days of his life, one of the things you're going to notice is Jesus does a number of very strange things, right? Overturning the tables of the money changers in the temple, cursing this fig tree that seems to have done nothing to him, right? Going off in secret to this hidden room in the upper room, you know, setting up a rendezvous to celebrate this Passover meal, to say nothing, of course, of these mysterious words at the Last Supper itself. So what we're going to do is we're going to walk through those 7 days, those last 7 days of Jesus's life, and we're going to look at some of those strange things that he does. And what I want to suggest to you is that in each one of these days, there's a sign or an action or a word of Jesus that at first glance seems really surprising and mysterious. But if you put it in light of the Old Testament, if you look at it in light of ancient Jewish scripture, as well as some ancient Jewish traditions that actually aren't in the Bible, all of a sudden it becomes very clear that his last 7 days are really like a tapestry of fulfillment, threads being pulled together from the Old Testament, fulfilled in himself and through his great paschal mystery, his passion, his death, and his resurrection. In other words, if you really want to enter into the mystery of the Feast of All Feasts, the Feast of Easter, you have to look at Holy Week itself through ancient Jewish eyes and through the lens of Jewish scripture and tradition. So that's what we're going to do now in this presentation on the Jewish roots of Holy Week. All right, so let's just dive right in with the first day, which is Palm Sunday. Now, all of us are very familiar from the Palm Sunday liturgy with the fact that that first day of the week in Jesus' last 7 days begins with his famous triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And of course, we all know the story of the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, but let's reread it again and try to see it through first century Jewish eyes. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 11, verse 1 through 11, we read these words. When they drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethphage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it. Now, if anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord has need of it, and will send it back here immediately.' And they went away, and they found a colt tied at the door out in the open street, and they untied it. And those who stood there said to them, 'What are you doing, untying the colt?'" Which, pause for a second, by the way, this is like stealing someone's car in the first century AD, right? This is a method of transportation, right? And they just walk up to the colt and are untying it to take it away. And it continues, "They told him what Jesus had said, and he let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their garments on it, and he sat upon it. And many spread their garments on the road, and others spread leafy branches which they had cut from the fields. And those who went before and those who followed cried out, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that is coming. Hosanna in the highest!' And he entered Jerusalem, and he went into the temple, and when he had looked round at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12." Mark chapter 11, 1 through 11. All right, two key questions here about strange actions of Jesus. First, why does Jesus, for all intents and purposes, steal this donkey, right? Does he instruct his disciples to steal the donkey? I mean, if someone came up to you and said, "Can I take your car?" And they said, "Trust me, the master needs it," would you let them? Probably not, right? I mean, so this is a mysterious thing. Why does Jesus ride in the city on a donkey instead of just walking into the city? And second, why did the Jewish crowds react to that action by singing, "Hosanna in the highest, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord"? Is that how you would have reacted, right, if you saw a man riding a donkey into the city? Well, the answer to both those questions lies, of course, in the Old Testament.